program, Mr. Colin Livingston. And Colin, let's take a look at something we haven't really talked about a lot since, is the NASCAR Pinty Series. And, you know, what changes have we seen specifically with, you know, maybe players or players, drivers, change with who they're racing?
Well, for the most part, there's a lot that that's continued over from last year. Last year being a part season, a lot of teams had to sit out because it was really, really tough for sponsors to get behind these teams, not knowing if we were going to be on TV, if we were going to be in front of fans and stuff like that. So taking last year out of the equation, it looked like our reigning champion from 2019, Andrew Ranger, was going to be missing this year, but you know, they were a late addition. Rick Ware Racing, they announced that they were going to join the Pinty Series. They already field teams in Cup, in Xfinity, as well as IndyCar, so they're a great addition. They're running equipment from White Motorsports. They're the newest manufacturer. You know, we know David White, Whitey, as we call him. He's building great stuff. It's honestly, it's very tough to compete against. We run McCall's chassis and a different engine, so we know that they've got great gear. But awesome, you know, awesome that we've got our reigning full season champ coming back. Andrew's a great guy. Joining him this year is going to be Alex Gannett. Alex, he was Tegs, one of his fill-in drivers when he got sick with myocarditis a couple years ago. Gannett's going to be running his first season since 2013. Raphael Lessard, who left the Camping World Truck Series, he's going to be joining us this year. You know, Lessard, as a little side note, is the only driver in Pinty's history to win his first three starts. He won his first race at Chaudière a couple years ago, and then won the first two races at Sunset. You know, Larry Jackson, honestly, the nicest guy probably on the planet, definitely the best guy that's in our Pinty series. He's going to be running a full season, which is great. Our teammate Marc-Antoine Cameron is back. So yeah, it's going to be a great, great season. I mean, we've already had our first three races here. So I know it's, you know, the first two races have been broadcast on TSN, and last weekend's race from GP3R should be on this weekend. So fans have a lot to watch.
You know, Colin, every time I see you, you bring up two things. One, you're going to tell me how luscious and thick your hair is. And two, you're going to tell me about the Grand Prix de Trois-Rivières. What makes this race so special?
Well, if you're streaming on YouTube right now, you can just see how luscious the hair is. So that doesn't have to be declared anymore. You can just watch firsthand.
Yes.
You know, GP3R, without question, is one of the you know, the greatest events in motorsport. I mean, I've been fortunate to go to a number of big events. I've seen Formula One races. I've watched, you know, sports cars in Europe. I've been to the Daytona 500. GP3R is right there, and the lead promoter Dominic Fugere is just one of the great guys in motorsports. He's always a smiling guy, super friendly. He remembers everyone. And I got to chat with him a bit at Sunset. You know, and got. You know, they were really uncertain, even at that point, 2 weeks out, if the race was going to be able to go on. They managed to pull it off. They, you know, you never know when, you know, restrictions come in, when the government's going to, you know, impose, you know, new guidelines. You know, as an example, we all had to provide, you know, vaccination proof. If you couldn't do that, you had to do on-site testing. So they jumped all the hurdles and put on really a great event. You know, this is you know, one of my favorites. It's our team's favorite, and now we're fortunate enough that you know, with our maestro Tagliani behind the wheel, you know, even with a rookie crew chief, our longtime crew member Matt Schoenauer stepped into the breach this weekend, his first ever crew chief role at the Pinty level, and we managed to grab the big trophy this weekend.
Which is absolutely awesome. And it's great that was a success, but now things are getting a little harder because the NASCAR Pinty Series is going to have 5 races in 9 days in 3 cities and 2 provinces. I mean, holy smokes, who's sponsoring this event? WestJet? So take us through how that is operated and how you kind of go about managing the logistics and being fresh for all these races.
the real brutal thing is obviously, you know, for all of us, we're going to have to do a lot of traveling. We're going to do a lot of adapting. But for our crews and the mechanical guys and the you know, like, we don't have at track staff and shop staff. Everyone is doing both and double duty. The first leg starts next weekend in just outside of Montreal at ICAR, the old Mirabel Airport, where we're going to run a road course race. So that's one type of car. We don't, you know, within most groups, and especially nowadays, we have designated cars for road courses and we have oval cars. But because most of our teams are outside of Montreal, like the majority of the teams are based in Ontario, when we load up and hit the road, we're going to have both cars in the hauler, which doesn't leave room for a spare. So we got to load the oval car, we got to load the road course car. We race Saturday at ICAR, load up at the end of the day. We have to drive 350K to Chaudière to the oval, offload that. For most of the teams, it's between 10 and 12 hours to get back. So after the race, they're going to get back to the shops Monday, have to offload, start stripping everything apart, rebuild the road, and hopefully we don't get a lot of damage. Even if we get no damage and are able to just do a standard service and a standard rebuild on a car, it takes days to do that. You know, rebuild the road course car, turn around and get out to Canadian Tire Motorsports Park to do another two races the following weekend. It's going to be, to put it into perspective for people who don't really know what goes on behind the scenes, we're being asked to run a tighter schedule with more racing and more diverse racing by having to do ovals and road courses in a short period of time. Even top level cup teams don't have to do that. And they've got full time, you know, they've got mega budgets. They've got multiple haulers. They've got multiple, they've got logistics people. You know, they're set up to do that kind of stuff, and they don't even ask these guys to do that. So we're really going to be stretched thin. But to have five races over 9 days, you know, our whole season is essentially, I shouldn't say a whole season, but the majority of the season is in, you know, just over a week. It's crazy.
Can't Talk Racing Report with Colin Livingston. And Colin, if you guys in all your five races run into similar issues they've had with NASCAR this past weekend with the curbing falling apart and the damage that brought on, you guys are in for a bad spot. So how does this happen? Explain what happened. Well, first off, I had to read up what curbing is, and then why did it happen and the fallout for these NASCAR drivers and pit crews.
Well, you know, the first thing most people try and do is find fault, and I think that's really unfair. For the cup cars, they were running at Indianapolis this weekend, and, you know, for Indianapolis is really set up for open wheel cars, for Indy cars, for F1 cars, and, you know, the stock cars have been a great addition there, but there's a lot of different demand, and what they tried to do is they fabricated these curbs, so the road course is set up. They use the curbs basically to define the out of bounds to keep people from running all over the place. And you have to, if you hit the curb though, it really sets the outside of your car, which gives you a lot better traction. And what was happening is the curbs were like, typically curbing is concrete or it's a composite material. And these were metal apparently that towards the end of the race, they started to come apart. What had happened early in the race is somebody had hit it in such a way that their splitter actually broke off the car, which damaged the one curb at about turn four. And towards the end of the race, the curbing actually came apart. So it was basically jagged steel. As you know, they had a restart towards the end of the race. The pack came through. You can't see the curb. You know where to point your car. And as cars were hitting this thing, it was sending them everywhere. It was absolute pandemonium. Guys were sending to the wall, spinning into each other. It was a total disaster. You know, how do you fix it? You've got to build curbs that are able to handle stock cars. I mean, you know, Indy cars weigh something like 1,800, 2,000 pounds, but they have, you know, pretty good suspension. So Indy cars don't necessarily hit the curbs the same way because they've got a lot of downforce and they have a lot of natural grip. The stock cars have to hit the curbs to really get the grip so they can fly through the corners a little bit quicker. I'm sure that the powers that be are going to analyze this and you know, before they come back, they'll have a better idea. I mean, NASCAR is really good at responding to this stuff. You know, they implemented the safer barriers at all their tracks. they're not going to come back with the same thing. And Mr. Penske, the head of, you know, the owner of IndyCar, the owner of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, is definitely not going to repeat the same mistake twice. That's for sure.
And one last one here, the off at Camber Carters. A couple of races left in the season. You know, what kind of excitement can we expect?
Well, the light championship has been settled. Our reigning champion, Jared Friesen, he's won three in a row. He's already secured his fourth championship, so good on Jared. We got to see him a little bit yesterday. He's choosing not to run the last or the next two races. They're off to Chilliwack to go compete for a world's ticket. In mine, what we call the fat guy category, you know, we still have two races to go, and it's down to Damon Chalamy, you know, young kid. Damon's really busted his backside this year. You know, Damon is, I don't know his actual height. He's at least 6'4". You know, so no matter what he does, he's going to be heavy, but you know, he's really trimmed down this year. He's, you know, really committed to racing, and he found a lot of speed. Damon wasn't a consideration for me at all until this year. And now I'm having a hard time keep up with the kid. So, I'm not too sure how things went. Last night was not a good race. I was hit in all three heats, got a bunch of damage to my cart that I have to fix, but, I've got to take next week off because it's moving day to my new place, but, I'll get one more shot to kind of up my points total, and we'll see where it shakes down at the end. Hopefully I can have my name will be on the trophy somewhere. I just don't know if it'll be first or second.
Presenting sponsor.
Well, I'll get a few also.
I'm just kidding, buddy. Good luck. I love to see you out there racing, flying around with that hair blowing in the wind, buddy. Have a good time.
You bet. Thanks, Freddie.